What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. Me and B-Mitch holding it down out west, Ashburn, Virginia. We are here. It's the beginning of Giants week, man. It's pretty interesting. They're going to have played the Giants twice before any other NFC East team once.
Yeah, just beat them twice.
Huge opportunity this week to get to 7-2. That hasn't happened since you were playing for Norv.
Long time ago.
Yeah. Well, and that was a very hot start and a very cool finish, I would say.
Yeah.
How are you, dude? How was yesterday?
I'm good, brother. Everything was fantastic.
We had a running debate that we weren't sure where you were. Were you getting paid, playing golf, or both? The Venn diagram of both is really the sweet spot.
I was helping someone else get paid.
There you go.
I was helping raise money for a Fisher House.
So okay. Well,
that's
great.
What it was.
Enjoy yourself. It was a beautiful day, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess it was a little chilly, but nothing crazy.
All right. Nothing was chilly yesterday, dog.
I bet you had fun.
Warm yourself up. A little internal alcohol rub. You know, you'd be good.
You came in hot about the Yankee fans.
I think fans like that, that people are now celebrating this idiot, they need their asses kicked. Because what if him, by grabbing what's called arm, mess his shoulder or something up? And I think the ultimate thing is fans, yeah, you're in the game. Cheer. When you start touching people, you got a problem. And I have always respected fans. But I think anytime you touch a player, that player is allowed to beat the hell out of you. You know, do something. Because I think that was absolutely ridiculous what he did. You know, grab the glove and try to force the ball out. And the other little idiot next to him was trying at first. Then he realized, we're about to lose our stuff. And he quickly pulled his hands off of him. But the other dude should never be able to go to a sporting event again in his lame life.
So I guess ESPN or The Athletic, somebody caught up with these fans. If you live under a rock and are unaware of what happened last night, it was right in the first inning. There was a foul ball going down, and Mookie Betts of the Dodgers runs over to try to catch it. And these two Yankee fans, you ready for these names, B?
Mm-hmm.
Austin Capobianco and his friend John Peter grabbed the glove and then grabbed Betts, and all hell kind of broke loose. And the ump immediately called that it was an out, called fan interference.
Of course.
all right, so here are the quotes from this dude.
I got some names for him.
Well,
I can't say them on air.
All right, so ESPN somehow got quotes from this guy. We always joke about the ball in our area, Capobianco, 38, said at a local bar after the game. We're not going to go out of our way to attack. If it's in our area, we're going to D up. Someone defends, someone knocks the ball. We talk about it. We're willing to do this.
And both of them should be willing to never, ever attend another Yankees game or any MLB game. And other sports should say you can't come to our games either.
Capobianco and Peter were escorted out of Yankee Stadium, but said they were told they would be allowed back for Game 5 Wednesday night. The Yankees did not immediately respond to ESPN's request for comment regarding if that was indeed the case.
If they allow them back and those same guys do something else, how does that look on the Yankees' part? Major League Baseball is about to send them one of those little secret little letters and say, that fool better not be in that game.
Well, you know me, and I tweeted this out last night, and I imagine thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people had the exact same thought. That the fact that it was immediately ruled an out made me so freaking mad and took me back to 1996 when that little weasel twerp dork, Jeffrey Meyer, reached over the wall and took a fly ball out of Tony Tarasco's glove in the ALCS against the Orioles that became a Derek Jeter home run.
Mm-hmm.
Where the hell was the call and the ump that night?
Well,
and I'm mad about it.
But you got to realize,
30 years later,
things have changed 30 years later, Jay, where the ultimate thing now is you have to – they always talk about integrity of the game. The leagues have changed things a lot to make sure they don't have to deal with that. But these little fools – I'm not one going to be happy about it, because I tell you, if I was playing a game and somebody was doing, I'm going to have some issues. But what if Mookie Betts had done something? Major League Baseball be trying to find him, everybody be mad at Mookie Betts?
I don't think so.
I mean, you say that, but every time a player responds to stupidity, the player is supposed to be so under control all the way to the end. And when coaches are never that way, fans are never that way, I just have issues with that.
I get it. Listen, if Mookie had punched one of them or something, it would have been fine by me, frankly. And Mookie said after the game, when it comes to the person in play, it doesn't matter. We lost. It's irrelevant. I'm fine. Everything's cool. We lost the game, and that's what I'm focused on. Because they did end up, for the first time, kind of getting smoked. The Yankees' bats came alive. Mm-hmm. Good morning to the boys in the aquarium. We got a pair of Yankee fans in the aquarium. I ask you gentlemen this. As the Yankee fans on the program, open up the stream. I think Jeff emailed it.
I did.
Oh, so we're just waiting on Jeff to make it live.
Don't tell me about what else.
If you're looking to watch us on the stream, text Jeff. But
hold on, stop it. You just got in there. You just got in there, B. I wasn't in there for a minute. I know you were, JP.
But still, when I hit it, you should be ready to go. I mean, I hit it like 2.5 minutes ago. I mean,
anyway. So, Jeff, do you support that guy, Capo Bianco, trying to grab the ball?
Not at all. Dude, it's just crazy because you know how they always paint like crooks and sleazy people of New York? The 5 o'clock shadow, the black hat. He looked like he should have been like one of the thieves in Home Alone. Like he just looked like an overall sleazy guy. Look, JP, if I wasn't watching the game and I just seen that film come across like X or something, I would be like, oh, this is no way this is real. This is staged. I couldn't believe it, dude.
Yeah. It's craziness.
It does. I mean, it really, he looks like central casting of who the Yankee fan that would harass a Dodgers outfielder trying to catch the ball. It is, he really does look like straight out of central casting. Do you, Jeff, apologize for Jeffrey Mayer, whatever his name is?
Well, I'm not going to apologize for the actions of no other man, but just know all Yankees fans are not like that. He's an outlier.
You should. And Landini, what about you? Speaking on behalf of your Yankee fan brethren, Capo Bianco. Why is he wearing – you notice he's wearing a sliding mitt? You know the mitts these guys wear to steal bases with now? The weirdo's wearing one. Like, that is so bizarre. Maybe that's the guy next to him. And this guy, I mean, is literally trying to take it out of –
Yes.
It is – I mean, that is – I don't know. Those guys look like – they got a lot going on, and I'm just going to choose my words carefully there. Ovi scored twice last night.
Yes. And I saw that, JP.
Everybody thinks it's next year. If Ovi just gets red hot, it could be this year.
That's exactly what the commentator said. They say, you know what? We were thinking about next year. Well, hell, if he keep going like this, we may be talking about this year. And they came out on fire. They score, Ovi scored, and boom, 53 seconds later, bam. You know, the Rangers score, boom, he comes right back. You know, so I just they seem to be a little faster this year. You know, they said they got younger or whatever, but they got some veteran guys came in. They're a little stronger than they were last year. And, like, last year was a happenstance and they got to the playoffs.
They got red hot as everybody else was kind of barfing on their shoes.
Yeah, this year,
the Caps are just they're expecting right it now. Yeah, I mean, they're still – so the Devils are in first in the Metro – but they've played 12 games. So they've got 14 points in 12 games. The Caps have 12 points in 8 games. Mm. Like, they're cruising, man.
Yeah.
And if you remember last year, a lot was made, I believe I have this correct, that the Caps had the worst goal differential to make the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case now. They're plus 7 right now and kind of cruising. Dude, I take some joy in this, and I – don't apologize for it. The Pittsburgh Penguins have long been the Caps' hockey nemesis. The Penguins have so Washington had played 8 games, 12 points, right? Mm-hmm. And you get points for wins. And then you get 1 point, I guess, for the overtime, if you go to overtime. The Penguins have played 11 games.
Yeah.
How many points do you think they have?
You get 8 points for...
You get 2 points for a win.
For a win. And nothing
and
for
you get one if you go to overtime.
Okay.
I think that's right.
Lampard, I think they may have like 8 points.
Seven.
I was close.
Yo, the Pens are 3-7. 3-7-1. They've lost six in a row, and their goal differential is minus 15.
Damn.
Good luck with all that, Pittsburgh. All right, B, there's a lot of stuff I want to talk to you as we kind of gear up for another week, man. Week 9, going to the Meadowlands. There is so much to discuss here. But yesterday I noticed something. I get all these emails from all these betting places. Dan Quinn is now the favorite to win Coach of the Year in the NFL.
You shocked? I mean, he should be. A man that walks into this and they're where they're at right now this quick, that should be hands down. Who else is having a better year than him? What team is having a better year than this team based off of what you just saw for the last 20-plus years?
I think it was Kevin O'Connell was the favorite because of, you know, they started 5-0 and you got Sam Darnold as your quarterback and blah, blah, blah. But they've now lost two in a row, I think.
They were in the playoffs last year, were they not?
The Vikes were definitely in the playoffs 2 years ago. Last year, remember, Kirk got hurt. I think it.
He did get hurt last year. But my ultimate thing is you come in this team, you basically overhauled this team. This team basically were 32nd. 31st, 29th, in everything that they could be named in.
I mean, just
year.
The defensive numbers right
to
now.
To be where they are right now, I don't think anybody else should be up for it compared to what he's done so far here.
I agree, man. And it's tough because you don't want to get too out in front on this, but they're 6-2, 5 games to go until the bye. It's like entirely possible. 8-5, 9-4 at the bye is honestly a fairly modest prediction, and you've got to give Quinn a ton of credit. And Quinn, the type of staff Quinn put together.
Yeah.
And all of it is just working, man. You know, I did this interview with Will Montgomery today, right, who played for the Skins for 5 or 6 years, played throughout the NFL, was a center for Peyton Manning in Denver, like a lot of experience. And he was talking about how much he loved this offense, watching it, and how elements of it remind him of the Shanahan zone run scheme, mm-hmm. but then it's not. Like, it looks similar, but it's different.
Yeah, far from it.
Well, I mean, Anthony Lynn goes back to that tree, right? Like, Anthony Lynn won 2 Super Bowls running that Shanahan zone run scheme in Denver. But you've got this group where you've got so many people with so much input from so many different spots, and I think it's all coming together just in the right way. And then you combine that you have a quarterback that looks like a legit MVP candidate for years, and that just changes everything.
Yeah. Hey, man. Right now, everything seems to be working. And I don't know if we can put one person or whatever, but it all seems to be working, and that man seems he runs the football operations. He's the one talking to the actual people that are going on the field on a consistent basis. Yes, Adam Peters goes and gets people for him, but that coach has a lot of influence. And when you start seeing how these coaches are, how the players interact with the coaches, the difference in 1 week to the next, you know, the difference in, like, when you see something, oh, can they correct this? All of a sudden you go, damn, they corrected it. You know, when you see all that, that comes from your head coach. And there are a lot of other people around, but you know what? Somebody sets the tone, and he set the tone. So I'm with it.
He sets a tone. How about this? I just saw this on the wire here. The Jets are Zuerlein's been terrible for the Jets. Honestly, they'd probably have 2 more wins if they didn't have Zuerlein, if they just had an above-average kicker. But they stuck it out with Zuerlein, releasing Seibert back in late August, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Eventually, now the
is Zuerlein Aaron Rodgers' friend?
He might
Simon
be.
Wasn't his friend, so they told him to go, and he got his friend over there now.
So the Commanders,
that's a mess.
The Commanders traded for Cade York, later released him, signed Seibert week 2. Seibert's been nails since he's gotten here, right? Everything inside of 50, I think he's made. He's got the two misses that are outside of 50. It is weird that there were similar misses where he, like, chunks the ground first. But listen to this. The Jets are signing Riley Patterson to their practice squad. Remember him here?
Yeah.
I believe Patterson was the kicker when we were in New York for those practices that I have never seen a kicker with an innate ability of hitting the crossbars more often than Patterson. And it's both sides. It's not like a consistent fade or a consistent draw. Like, it is – he's going to hit that crossbar one way or the other. And I just find it so bizarre. And, like, some of this stuff is karma or kismet or serendipity, whatever you want to call that. Like, the fact that the Jets released this dude, Seibert, who is absolutely killing it here, and are now at least signing to their practice squad a guy that Washington had to cut, is just such a bizarre full circle moment to me.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes when you're hot, right? Like, it just seems like everything is kind of going well for them. And, you know, a few weeks back when the Panthers were coming to town, you were getting mad at me because I was telling you they're going to kick their ass. I didn't think Carolina was good. I thought Washington was good. I'm not making any designations about this week's game. Because I think it's a division game. You're going to the Meadowlands. You never know what's going to happen in these situations, right? The Ravens just went to Cleveland and lost to the Browns. Like, division games are a different beast. The Ravens also have a problem of playing down in their competition. Two of their three losses this year are to the Raiders and the Browns. Like, that's something they got to work on. Anyway, I there's no proclamation coming about what should happen this week. I do think Washington's more talented.
Yeah.
But the one thing, especially watching the Giants, but I'd say watching the Cowboys, like, within the division, I think the Eagles still have the most talent. Just if you look at the roster, they're pretty loaded. But I think Washington plays the cleanest and is the best coached. And I think you see that week after week after week. If you watch,
you know what happened.
I didn't get to talk to you. Did you watch the Monday Night Football game, Giants Steelers?
I watched some of it.
Did you see the play call on the two-point conversion?
No.
I'll send it to you. It's asinine. It was swinging gate.
Yeah.
Like, it was...
Look, man, I'll tell you like this. Talent doesn't always win.
Right.
Okay? If you have talent without work, you're going to get your ass kicked. A lot of talented people, you know what they do, too? They're selfish as hell. Everybody wants to do their own thing. That's what the Eagles are dealing with right now, where everybody wants to be the guy. Instead of just what everybody on this team is doing, sacrificing to make sure that the team wins. And if you can find a way of doing that, which is another reason I think you look at Dan for Coach of the Year, everybody thinks the same. They just want to win. They don't care about who's getting the credit. They want to win. Hell, Jaden comes on the show with us after the game. First thing he does is give credit to the defense. You know, we've seen times in this town where a guy played bad, but they win. He's going to come and say it was all about him. It happens. But they seem to have a common mindset of one common goal. Let's win as a team. And if they keep being like that, good things can happen even farther along.
Packed show today. Greenberg joins us at 11. Pat Leonard checking in on these New York football Giants at noon. Pat Leonard, of course, our friend from the New York Daily News. We should hear from Dan Quinn around 12:30. Aaron Schatz, the father of DVOA, joins us at 1 o'clock. We're actually going to get into power rankings next. Make sure we have time for it. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. The NBA is back, and FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. And right now, FanDuel is giving everyone 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every tip-off and buzzer beater is place any $5 bet on the NBA to get 3 months of NBA League Pass courtesy of FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to make every moment more this season. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner, 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. After 3 month free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All righty. Good morning to all those in the chat. We got to say good morning to the first comment we got. Who do you think it is today, B? It's one of our regulars.
Tay?
Nope.
Locked?
Nope.
Deb?
Nope. The Comandante.
I was about to go next. I can't believe he first.
Commander Tequila is in there first. Says, good morning, Commander's family. Good morning, everybody. If you want to be in the chat, one of these days I'll remember. YouTube.com/@1067TheFan. Did I get it right, Jeff?
Something like that.
Something like that.
Just say that 1067 The Fan YouTube page.
1067 The Fan.
Go to the search thing, put in 1067 The Fan. It'll pop up for you.
All right, B. Who's the best team in football?
Best team in football. Oh, Lord. I don't know. It goes week in and week out. Hell, it may be the damn Commanders, to be honest with you. I still go with the Ravens.
The Ravens?
Yep.
Coming off the Browns loss?
Yeah, I mean, one thing about losing in your division, that's different, bro.
There was a team I thought
some teams overlook them.
You're not saying the Chiefs.
I'm not. I mean, why I say the Chiefs when everybody going to tell you why, okay, they shouldn't be because they're not playing well, they are the best team in football until somebody else beat them in the Super Bowl.
This is not the week I would have said Ravens. I would probably still say Chiefs because they're undefeated. And
yeah.
To me, winning the games matters. Every week we use NFL.com for our power rankings. And Eric Edholm, we've had on the show. I think he's not trying to be hot takey. He's trying to be legitimate about it. This week he went with the Lions. And I do think the Lions.
Didn't they put 52 points up on somebody?
Yeah, the Lions are starting to make a real case for it, man.
The Lions are one of those throwback type football teams where in this day and age,
they just won 52-14.
Everybody wants to just toss it around and everybody on defense don't tackle. They will maul you and they will knock your blank in the dirt. You know what I'm saying? That's what they do.
You ready for a stat? Late in the third quarter of their 52-14 win over Tennessee, and Tennessee's awful, but still, what are you supposed to do? Beat the hell out of bad team playing. Late third quarter on Sunday, the Lions had 49 points. What do you think? How many yards do you think Jared Goff had thrown for at that point? 49 points on the board.
And he probably threw for about 100, 200?
57 pass yards.
That's all he had to do?
Yes.
They were mauling the hell out of him. He ended up with, like, what?
He ended up with 85 passing yards.
Yeah, I remember that now. I remember. Because he was like 12 of 15 for 85 yards, three touchdowns.
Three touchdowns.
Yeah.
12 of 15 for 85 yards and three touchdowns. Jahmyr Gibbs went 11 for a 127 with a touchdown. David Montgomery went 9 for 33 on the ground with a touchdown. I mean, they are just an absolute freight train. They spread it around a little bit. It helps,
and that's
when
another team. Just like
Tennessee had four turnovers, so there's a lot of short fields and stuff.
Yeah, but that means the whole team's playing well. You know, they don't care. You know, they don't care about who gets the credit.
So I maintain that it'd be the Chiefs until they lose. They are undefeated. This is the first week where I think there was a stretch in there, maybe when the Ravens beat Washington, honestly, where you could have said the best team in football was the Ravens. The Chiefs went to Vegas and won. And listen, the Raiders are bad, but they always play Kansas City tough. Division games are just different. I'm aware of the picks with Mahomes. It is odd for a guy that's really controlled the football most of his career I think he's leading or at least tied for the lead in the NFL in interceptions thrown. Doesn't that just feel weird to say?
It feels weird to say, but you know what the ultimate thing is? It doesn't make a difference how many yards you throw, how many interceptions you throw, win the damn game.
Yeah.
And when it comes down to it down the stretch, he makes all the right plays.
Sure.
You know, as I've said before, if you throw your interceptions early in the game and then you throw touchdowns late, people still praise you. That's what he seems to be doing. Unlike some other guys, like Romo didn't throw a lot of interceptions, but he always threw it at the most inopportune time, which makes people think he was a turnover machine, which he wasn't.
Right now, Baker Mayfield, Pat Mahomes, and Jordan Love are all tied for the NFL lead in picks with 9. And if you care about these things, Love has 9 picks in just 6 games and maybe missing time again. Dak and Gardner Minshew right behind them. For Mahomes, in his career, the pick numbers – what stands out to me is just that he's on a pace that it would be really high for him.
Yeah.
We'll see if he settles it down. Dude, this is astonishing, Brian. Right now, The Chiefs are 7-0. And for the first time, I'm going to say ever, Mahomes is upside down on TDI and T ratio. He has 8 touchdowns to 9 picks, and they're 7-0.
Yeah.
What if he gets it together?
See, that's the
what
thing.
What if he tightens
it
up?
See, we have gotten into an era where we just look at stats all the time. But there is something about right now, their passing game is not as good as it is, but they're doing enough other stuff to win.
You think DeAndre Hopkins will make a difference?
Hell yeah. And then once they start throwing the ball around a little bit better, then what the other league, other, rest of the league going to do? You know, it's just there. It's not about the stats or what people think, the analytical mindset of it. How do you end the game with more points than the other team? It's all that damn matters. And Pat Mahomes and his crew are showing that to you right now.
They got a what could be a pretty cool game, Chiefs-Bucks this weekend. All right, here's what I want to ask you, B. I have not looked. Have you looked at have you scrolled down on the power rankings yet? Okay. He hasn't.
I haven't even opened it.
Okay, I have it open, but I've only gone through two. The best record in the NFL is the Chiefs, 7-0.
Yep.
The next best record in the NFL is the Lions, 6-1. They only have the one loss. The next group of teams, there's a bunch of teams with only two losses. There's a bunch of 6-2 teams, okay? The Ravens are no longer in this category. They're at 5-3. They have a third loss.
Mm-hmm.
The Vikings aren't in this category because they're 5-2. They only have 5 wins. Eagles, 5-2, only 5 wins. A lot of this is dependent on when you had your bye week, right? And yes. Washington hasn't had theirs. Some teams have. But of the 6-2 teams, B.
Yep.
Steelers, Bills, Packers, Commanders, Texans. 5 teams are 6-2.
Mm-hmm.
How would you stack them up? Because to me, that should be the next batch of teams here. Like that Ravens loss was bad, and they now have 2 bad losses. You can go Ravens if you want, but the teams with the next batch of best records, there's 5 of them. Washington's in that bunch.
Washington's in that bunch, but you got to realize – people are jumping on the bandwagon now, Washington, but they're not completely on it yet because they're still saying you got to prove it. They're probably going to put the Bills ahead of them. Since the Texans did what they did last year, they may go ahead of them. And I would think that it's a toss-up between them and Green Bay.
All right. 1, Lions. This is NFL.com Power Rankings. 2, Chiefs. 3 is the Bills. Bills kind of went to Seattle and beat Seattle's ass. It was tight for a while, and then they just pulled away late. I think it was the third quarter, they scored, I think, 3 straight touchdowns or had 3 straight scores. Josh Allen's still protecting the ball pretty well. He has the lowest interception percentage rate of his career, and the fumbles aren't there.
Look at that.
Yeah.
He's doing his best, and Pat still got a better record.
Yeah.
Just weird, bro.
I'm reading now, the Bills still live dangerously at times as they made some first-half gaffes that might have sunk another team playing at Seattle. But the Bills, not any other team. They're high on this list, even with their warts, for their ability to overcome penalties and turnovers. And if you miss out on your chances against them, they'll cut you. Their run game is really strong. I really like that kid, Ray Davis. He runs hard. You add Amari Cooper and then Keon Coleman, the Florida State rookie, really starting to kind of perform.
Mm-hmm.
They've won 3 in a row. I think I'm buying this Bills team largely because it seems like Josh Allen more and more is realizing he can't be Superman every play. But that AFC playoffs is such a dogfight that outside of KC, I don't know that you could trust anybody.
If KC keeps winning and you got to go through Kansas City, I feel sorry for Josh. He's going to be very much like Jim Kelly.
Yeah?
You keep dealing with that dude.
I mean, listen to this. The NFC's not – I think the NFC has more depth, but listen to the top heaviness of the AFC. Chiefs are 7-0. They'd get the one seed. They'd get the bye. There's a lot of football left, but just saying how it currently projects out. Texans are the 2 seed, 6-2. Steelers are the 3 seed, 6-2. The Steelers with Russ Wilson, this is a different thing. Russ looks like he can play. Tomlin looks like he's calling the right shots there. Bills, 4 seed, 6-2. Then you've got the Broncos at 5-3. The Ravens are now the 6th seed at 5-3. The Chargers are the 7th seed. There will be a lot of movement on this. If the AFC playoffs started right now, you'd have the Broncos going to Buffalo, the Ravens going to Pittsburgh, and the Chargers heading to Houston. What do you think, a hypothetical, understanding that this is a long way off, I don't even know if they've played a regular season game yet. Ravens going to Pittsburgh for a wild card round playoff game. What do you think that line is? So if we're talking January 13th. Roughly.
Ravens would go to Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh being a home team. And I think it will probably be about three and a half Ravens.
Ravens as underdogs. Or you got the Ravens favored in Pittsburgh.
It would be the favorite.
Wow. I would take the points. That's a sister pick all day, baby.
Yeah.
I don't know that this will come to fruition. I think it's junk that the Commanders in three weeks have to play two teams coming off a bye when their bye is not till mid-December, but whatever. Pittsburgh's on a bye this week. Then they're down here to play Washington. They do have the Ravens the following week. I don't think a Mike Tomlin coach team and his record coming off the bye week is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they'd be looking ahead to a big-time division matchup, but you never know. But honestly, Washington's in a slot now where the notoriety that comes with winning and then especially the exposure that comes from a Hail Mary win like that, nobody's looking past Washington now.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels weird to say, but it's the truth. Here's what we know on the power rankings. 1, 2, 3 goes Detroit, KC, Buffalo. We'll tell you where the Commanders land when we return. It's B. Mitchell Finley. Shout out to Dr. Rhythm on Twitter. Says, good morning, fellas.
Everybody.
Beautiful Roseville, California.
Roseville.
But born and raised in Northeast D.C. Go Commanders.
All right, brother.
Thanks for listening, dude.
Hey, DJ.
All right, 1, 2, 3 in the NFL power ranks goes Lions, Chiefs, Bills. I think you can make an argument about the Bills.
There's Lions, Chiefs, Bills, you say?
There's a whole bunch of teams that are 6-2. At 4B, they actually have the Ravens, who have 3 losses and are coming off a terrible, terrible loss to the Browns. What a difference Jameis makes, but if Kyle Hamilton holds on to that pick, it goes the other way. I think it's football, it's the NFL, you got to expect some weird stuff. Shout out to me, who wanted to bet on the Browns, +9.5. Anti-shout out to Ahmet, who wouldn't let me do it. But it's all right, because the Raiders got me home on the weekend parlay. Regardless, Ravens at 4 sound fair to you, even with the loss?
Well, like you say, when you go head-to-head, they did beat us.
Number 5 on this list.
Okay.
Commanders.
Ah.
I read now from NFL.com. When Jaden Daniels is named Offensive Rookie of the Year, we'll look back at Sunday's Hail Mary as the moment he really pulled away. Daniels, who seemed unlikely to even suit up for the contest throughout much of last week, outgunned Caleb Williams for most of the game, but still needed the rabbit to come out of the hat. There was luck, sure, but Daniels also made that play happen by wearing out the Bears rushers, keeping a confused secondary in scramble mode, and delivering a well-placed teardrop that was tipped into the hands of Noah Brown. Clearly, Washington practiced that one well. One play, you saw the seeds of the offseason plan paying off. The significant coaching upgrade, the brilliance of the Daniels pick, and the payoff of a slew of hungry veterans such as Brown, all filling key roles for a 6-2 football team. Don't forget a game defense that has now turned in impressive showings in 4 of the past 5 games. This team is real. What do you say to that, B?
I agree. I mean, you got to, at this point, you have to give them their due. You know, what we always say, I wait after 4 weeks. They're at 8 weeks now. And they're still doing these things. And you look at a game when they end up getting the game, you know, it's a miracle thing in the end, but still, didn't play their best, but kept themselves in the game.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the sign of good teams. Good teams always have a chance, you know.
If you look at the last 5 games, they've held their opponent under 20 points 4 out of 5 times. They've held them under 15 points 4 out of 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
The only team that was able to score on them was the Ravens. And that game was probably a lot closer till the fourth quarter. Two teams have been able to score on them really this year is Cincy, Baltimore, and Tampa. Sorry, I said two. I meant three. I think this team, the way they're playing now, is significantly different. If you do, it's weird because there's a 17th game now, but the way coaches talk about this is you divide it up into quarters. Mm-hmm. The first quarter of the season, Washington was offensively driven, right? Like they could just outscore. The second quarter of the season, this past month, all of a sudden, their defense is playing pretty well. Their defense has climbed up to 10th in the league in points allowed, 13th in yards allowed.
Defense playing well, but offense did not look bad either.
Sure.
So, and I think when your offense can put up points like they have, you allow your defense freedom. You know, and then the way that they have drives of 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, the offense is on the field fresh. I mean, the defense is on the field fresh.
Complimentary football,
yes,
man.
Yes, yes.
I do wonder kind of what happens. You know what you'd love to hear today or see today? That Brandon Coleman is cleared from concussion protocol.
Cool.
Well, we don't know that that's going to happen. I think today would be the day where you hear it. But this Cornelius Lucas thing, I saw him leave the locker room with a boot on his foot. I think if you don't have Coleman and you have Lucas, you're cool. If you don't have Lucas and you have Coleman, you're cool. You don't have either of those guys, and then it's Trent Scott starting against this Giants D-line. I do think you'd be better off knowing it ahead of time and being able to game plan for it.
Didn't Lawrence get a little banged up the other night?
Dexter?
I probably saw him like limping off the field.
He was in there at the end. Okay. He was dominant as usual. And that, you know, Dexter's more of a problem for Biotish and Alec Reddy.
I'm not worried about no problem. Biotish is okay.
Yeah. Lawrence is a player, but Trent Scott had some trouble the other night against Chicago, and you'd love to hear Coleman's clear. But B, I just pulled this up.
One of them will be ready, Jay. Think positive.
I think we hear that Coleman's clear today, honestly. That's what my gut and my intuition is telling me. Of the power rankings, Commanders at 5, and I think that's legitimate. Rounding out the top 10, Green Bay at 6. Jordan Love, injury. This will now be a second injury this year. It's a little weird. Vikings at 7. You wonder if they call the face mask in the end zone, but still, it would have been first to goal from the 20, or first and 10 from the 20 with like 30 seconds left. Houston at 8. How big of a deal do you think this Steph Diggs situation is? Done for the year?
Oh, he's done for the year. That's huge. But I mean, the thing about it is they wanted Steph to come in and do some things, but they were good already.
Yeah, but now Nico's out too. You need Collins back.
If Nico's out, the way Mixon's running the football. Yeah. If Nico's going to be coming back, he's not out for the year.
No, I think he's supposed to be back within the next 2 weeks.
So they'll be, and they run the ball effectively too.
Dude, Pittsburgh at 9, I think people might be sleeping on Pittsburgh. Russ looks somewhere between good and good enough.
I think Russ, as the quarterback, makes that team more dangerous than it was at Fields.
They have a vertical passing attack, yeah. And you don't have that with Fields.
You got to at least say Russ is no longer an alien.
He seems to be an earthling. But, dude, Highsmith, everybody talks about Watt, who's fantastic. I mean, he had the strip sack on Daniel Jones. Watt is fantastic, but Highsmith is out of this world good, too.
Yeah.
And when you have two bookends like that, Hayward in the middle, Minka on the back end. That defense is so loaded. I am really fascinated to see what that looks like in 2 weeks against Washington. But, B, I pulled this up. We went through the AFC scenarios. Give me a line. You ready? If the NFC playoffs started today, and they don't, but just as a fun exercise, the Lions would be the one seed, they'd get the bye. Your Washington Commanders would be the two seed. Mm-hmm. They would host the 7 seed. You know who that would be if it started today? The Eagles.
All right.
Set the line.
If they will be hosting them, I'm going
Washington by 4.
Washington minus 3.5.
Yeah, I think that's about right.